Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Path to Wisdom Discourse for Sunday, the 1st of August. Boy, the year has gone fast. Today's topic is going to be on the topic of uncertainty and its effects, both gross and subtle, which means how it affects us both in the physical way, but also in ways not so obvious, because uncertainty is a principle that's part of life. In fact, the very concept of uncertainty is something that we have created in our head, not that nature has created. Nature doesn't have uncertainty. Nature just has isness or being. And we, because we have expectations, have uncertainty. Without expectations, there would be no uncertainty. But I would like to start to continue on with the Enchiridion chapters 3 and 4, because we have not been getting to it after our discussion. So today we're going to start with the Enchiridion, and then we're going to go to our discussion. That's okay with everybody. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share screen here, and we're going to go to that. And there we have our Enchiridion 3 and 4. Quinn, do you want to start with number 3?
With regard to whatever objects either delight the mind or contribute to use or are tenderly beloved, remind yourself of what nature they are, beginning with the merest trifles. If you have a favorite cup, that it is but a cup of which you are fond of, for thus, if it is broken, you can bear it. If you embrace your child or your wife, that you embrace a mortal, and thus, if either of them dies, you can bear it.
What it's telling us is to understand the nature of things. If we understand the nature of things, then we won't be upset or just, well, upset is not the right word. We won't have to be surprised when those things fulfill their nature. Now, what does that mean? A cup is a construct, right? A cup is made, and I think it's appropriate here to refer to a cup made from ceramics. If a cup is made from ceramics, it is made from clay and water and then fired. But if it's in a condition where it drops on a hard surface, it can break. Of course, a cup made from metal or silver or gold won't break. So that's a different kind of situation. And a human being, when it's born, it's guaranteed to die at some point. And that could be very soon or it could be very long, and it could be very pleasant or very unpleasant. So we have to understand that that's part of the process. So once that happens, we just accept it. So Epictetus is trying to say here, understand the nature of things. When you understand the nature of things, you will be able to sustain living in a way that's more, say, easier perhaps, less difficulty, less suffering, less dukkha. As that famous quote says, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Pain is the nature of existence, because if we have something that exists, it can be painful. On the other hand, whether we suffer with that pain or not is an entirely different subject. Clear?
Right.
Okay. Mosh, would you like to read number 4?
When you set about any action, remind yourself of what nature the action is. If you are going to bathe, represent to yourself the incidents usual in the bath. Some persons pouring out, others pushing in, others scolding, others pilfering. And thus you will more safely go about this action if you say to yourself, I will now go to bathe and keep my own will in harmony with nature. And so with regard to every other action. For thus, if any impediment arises in bathing, you will be able to say, it was not only to bathe that I desired, but to keep my will in harmony with nature. And I shall not keep it thus if I am out of humor at things that happen.
Okay, thank you. That's a really interesting example, I think, because he chooses an action that actually has some contextual and very specific human qualities that occur. What qualities are we talking about? Can anybody pick out from the sentence? Of course, we're talking about bathing. It's a public bath, of course.
Are you talking about desire?
No, not so much desire. He's describing, let's start with the first sentence. When you set about any action, remind yourself of what nature the action is. Well, that's clear, right? That's yes. Basically what we said about the previous paragraph. Know the nature of things. So then he uses an example. If you are going to bathe, that's the action. And this is a public bathhouse, like in Greece, ancient Greece, or in even Japan today, public bathhouses. Or in Russia, they have saunas, public bathhouses. Korea, they have them. If you are going to bathe, represent to yourself the incidentals usual in the bath. So now he's saying, okay, if you're deciding to go to bathe, then pay attention to what happens when people go to bathe, right? He's saying some people pour in, I mean, rushing in, some people pushing in, others scolding, shouting at each other, others pilfering, which means stealing. So here he's using an example of an action that is actually very human. Not only is it very human, it's very specific to the culture from which he's speaking. And Epictetus was the time of Rome, so it's Roman, Greco-Roman culture. Because perhaps in the middle of the steppes of Asia, the Mongolians didn't bathe, who knows? Or in the southern Pacific, where you can just walk into the ocean, there's no such thing as a public bathhouse. So here he's speaking specifically using a culturally contextual experience that humans have created and then referencing human behavior. Do you see what I mean? He's not talking about the universe. He's not talking about yin and yang. He's not talking about gods. He's not talking about nature and the wind and the water. He's talking about an incident that occurs in human society. But that incident could be relationship in a family. That incident could be working in a job. That incident could be speaking to a friend. That incident could be taking a ride on a horse or in a car somewhere to visit somewhere. That incident could be creating a book, writing a book, or reading a book. That incident could be anything. But in this case, he's using the incident or the act of bathing. And so by using the act of bathing, he is contextually referring to behavior that is human behavior. Is that clear?
Yes.
Because it's the humans that are going to rush in, or the humans that are going to push in, or the humans that are going to argue with each other, or the humans that are going to steal from each other. So he's asking you, the person reading, to say to themselves, I know that this happens in this situation. Therefore, when I go and participate in this situation, I will accept it and be in harmony with nature. Now, his harmony with nature is the harmony of what's going to occur. In this case, that's a good subject for discussion. Is he saying that this is nature, this is human nature, this is the way things happen? Or is he saying to be in nature with the act of bathing? You follow me?
Yes, it would be the act of bathing, right?
It seems to me like it's the act of bathing, but it might not be. He may be making a broader statement. And when you read any kind of philosophical or spiritual writings, I'd like you to read it and think about it in the way I'm just offered to you, to try and understand what is the reference of the words that the person writing or presenting is offering to you. Because that could be a big difference. One is the nature of bathing or human nature of the act. The other is, this is the bigger sense of nature. And of course, we're going to touch on this later in our discussion on uncertainty. They are kind of both the same thing in a way, because human beings are part of nature and human beings need to clean themselves. And when human beings go to clean themselves, they behave in a certain way. And therefore that could be nature behaving in a certain way. Does everybody follow me? So, in fact, there are some similarities there, but for now, it's an interesting question. When you read these books, whether it's a sutra or Greek philosophy or modern philosophy, some of the modern philosophers or scientists, ask yourself, what is he referring to? So you can be clear about this. And then he goes on to say, and so with regard to every other action, which means everything that occurs. Now he's bringing in the whole world. So that sentence tends to give us the feeling that when he's referring in harmony with nature, it's in harmony with nature with the act of bathing. Is that clear? Because then he's saying, and so with regard to every other action. So if he's distinguishing that action from other action, then it becomes a little bit clear that he, I think, to me at least, it becomes more clear that he is referring to bathing when he uses that harmony with nature. But again, it's my personal interpretation. It may be different. For thus, if any impediment arises in bathing, you will be able to say, it was not only to bathe that I desired, but to keep my will in harmony with nature. And I shall not keep it thus if I am out of humor at things that happen. So then he's saying, if I understand that, and it's not only that I wanted to bathe, but I keep myself, my will, my intention, my mind in harmony with the nature of the experience, which is people pushing in, people fighting, people stealing, and I shall not just separate it, then I will be okay with everything that happens. And if I suddenly feel unhappy, out of humor, which is another way of saying I'm not content or I'm disturbed or not at ease with what's taking place, if my will is in harmony with nature, it won't affect me. So basically, if I'm feeling unhappy, that shouldn't affect my state of mind. If I'm feeling unhappy due to everything that's happening in the act that I'm participating or nature of bathing, just because I know that that's part of the nature of bathing. Does that make sense? So to break it down into some more simpler terms, I'm going to participate in an action. This action commonly has these things that go along with it. Knowing that these things go along with it, I'll expect that when I go and participate in this action, these things will go along with it, and I will be in harmony in my activity and as well as with everything else. So then when I go to take part of this action, not only will I be taking part of this action, but I'll also be able to be in harmony with the overall state of things. So I will not get into a bad mood if I suddenly experience these unpleasantries that occur common.
Yes, I understand perfectly. It's like driving in LA. They will be just asshole driving and cutting you off. And I would expect that. So you're not going to let it get to you.
Right, exactly. And isn't it interesting, at least for me, now that I'm driving again in LA for so much, that when I'm driving, I generally expect people to behave, you know, crazily and not according to the rules. So I don't get so upset when they do that. But there are times when I'm in other states of mind where I'm not thinking about it, where I'm rushing to get somewhere, or my mind is on something else, and suddenly someone does it, and then suddenly I'm upset. In fact, that happened yesterday on the way to physical therapy. There was almost a major accident on San Vicente because some guy in a Bentley was driving very fast and cutting in and out. And then some guy in a huge pickup truck decided to change lanes. And literally, if it would have happened maybe 3 seconds earlier, there would have been a major accident. And I was right behind the whole thing, but I probably would have been involved in it. So, and that guy got very, whoa, how did that happen? And it disturbed me and all the thoughts that went along with that. But in fact, it was only because I was rushing to get to my therapist that I was not thinking that, well, this is something that happens commonly on the streets, therefore be prepared for it. And one of the things that's interesting, when I learned how to drive, I didn't do it in school, which is common in LA. I did it in a driving school, a private school, to try live driving lessons, which I think was wonderful because it was called the Defensive Driving School. And the teacher was very, very nice guy. And he constantly emphasized defensive driving. Always presume that the people around you are going to run a stop sign, run a red light, switch lanes without signaling, stop suddenly, and drive defensively. And that has saved me many number of times, knock wood, to prepare that everybody else is going to violate the rules. So be prepared that you will not be caught up in their violation of the rules. So a similar thing in which Epictetus is saying, if you're going to participate in something, whatever it is, even if you're going to just live life, understand what life is about. Therefore, when you understand the nature of what life is about, you do not have to be you do not get dragged into the processes that are disturbing to you, and you can keep a balance. Now, it's interesting when we look at the Enchiridion that there's a sequence to it. The first chapter, where I don't have that here, which talks about what's in your sphere and outside your sphere. You recall? So first you have to determine what is in your sphere and outside your sphere. That's where you understand that. Then you have to look at what are your desires and your attachment to desires. That's number two here. And the objects of desire. Then number three, you have to look at what are the nature of things. So don't you know, expect them to be different than they are. If a cup falls, it will break. If a person is born, they will die. If the sun rises, it will set. If there are clouds, it's likely it may rain. If it's no clouds in the sky, you're likely to burn if you don't have a hat. Understand the nature of things. And then when you take part in an action, so we've moved from first understanding, number one, can you see my cursor here? I don't know if you guys can see the cursor. You can, oh great, you can see my cursor moving. So I'm up here near the title here. Number one is saying, understand what's in your sphere and outside your sphere. Then number two, which is your context. Number two is understand the nature of what you function, your desires, your clings. Now it's saying focus on yourself. Then he's saying focus on other things to understand their nature. And finally, focus on your actions in participating in everything and what those things, what comes along with those things when you participate. Can you follow the sequence? First, understand the big picture. This is in my control. This is outside my control. Then understand why, what I desire. What is my nature? What do I cling to? What do I want? How do I function? So I'm understanding my own functions. Now I'm talking about what's in my control, right? Then number three, understand what other objects are. So now I'm looking at what's out of my control and what the nature of it is. And number four is now look at my interaction or the interaction between what's in my control and what's out of my control. So if I'm going to participate in some action, I understand its nature and what part of it is out of my control. And therefore, I am not going to let myself get disturbed by those things because I'm at harmony with what it is in my control. What I suggest, you don't have to do it, but what I suggest is that after, in the next coming week, you read through chapters 1, 2, 3, 4 again and sing in that way. Chapter 1 explaining to me the general perception of what's in, what's out of my control. Chapter 2 describing to me how I attach to things. Chapter 3 asking me to understand the nature of things. And chapter 4 asking me to look at how I participate in life by both understanding the nature of things and what comes with them and how I can stay in harmony with myself. Questions? No questions. Clear. Good. Is that helpful? I hope.
Yes.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
You know, Oren, as you were talking, I was imagining situations where not really similar to the bats, but just situations in life where you can get caught up, you know, and you have to just allow things to just be, you know, just to happen. And it really makes so much sense. And it's such a peaceful place to be in.
It's very much, it's very different from our society and how it tells us we should be.
Yes.
There's always this society asking us to act, to do, to state your point of view, to be engaged, although I don't mean that in a healthy way. I mean, constantly be engaged and participant, contribute, be create, you know, create something that will stand for all time. When Epictetus wrote, or I believe when most real philosophers wrote and put down their philosophy or taught, if they didn't write, as many of them didn't write, they didn't consider that I'm writing this or teaching this for all mankind, to help all mankind. They thought, this is the nature of life, and I'm doing this to try and understand what is the nature of life. And those that would like to participate, of course, I invite them and I'm open to them. And those that don't want to participate, that's fine. They don't need to. And that's a very different approach, I believe, than today.